This webcast is made possible in part by support from the listener members of the Classical Network, WWFM and WWFM.org. Thank you for your support.
Welcome to Inside Music. I'm your host, George Mariner Mole, Artistic Director of the Discovery Orchestra, where we believe the more musical detail we notice, the more pleasure we receive from listening. Inside Music is made possible by Glenn Mead, an independent trust company providing investment and wealth management services with offices in Princeton, Morristown, and Philadelphia. This episode is entitled The Point. So let's get right to The Point. You have undoubtedly heard a professor or speaker say, "Now, the point of this entire lecture is," and then, having hopefully gotten our attention, they proceed to present some particular idea or concept that they wish to emblazon in our minds. Composers often have a point to make as well. In fact, as Peter Gutmann, an attorney and journalist who writes extensively about classical music, has noted, Sergei Rachmaninoff insisted that each piece of music had a point, a mystical culmination upon which all the elements of music converged and toward which each sound was carefully calculated to lead. I have read of this in other sources, including one account of a solo piano recital that Rachmaninoff gave in Russia. Well-wishers ran back to the green room after the performance only to find him despondent to the point of tears because Rachmaninoff believed that he had not properly delivered the point of the last movement he had performed in the recital. Over the years of my own life as a musician, I've come to believe that Rachmaninoff had a point, all puns intended. And while the individual chapters or movements of large works, like symphonies or concertos, frequently have more than one climax, there is often one moment of greatest emotional intensity, the point. It may or may not be the loudest spot. In fact, sometimes it may be very soft. Our job, as listeners, assuming we wish to be moved by the point, is to give the music our undivided attention all along the way. That is, to listen to, as opposed to just hearing the music as a background to other activities. The first tiny bit of music I played was what I believe to be the point of the final movement of Rachmaninoff's third piano concerto. It's only 7 seconds long, but to be fully appreciated, the point must be properly prepared. We must build up to the point. Giving it to you in isolation, as I did, might not quite do it for you, and it really should not do it for you. Likewise, the music faded quickly because I wished to momentarily avoid what he does after making his point. There is literally nowhere else emotionally to go, so he had to figure out how to end the movement quickly from that moment forward. You will find that he even had to write one more crescendo, a climax of sorts, but nothing compared to the emotional intensity of the point. So let's listen again. From the moment Rachmaninoff begins to prepare us for his point, through the point, and on to the conclusion of the movement.
Thank you.
You were listening to pianist John Nakamatsu and the Rochester Philharmonic Orchestra under the direction of Christopher Seaman. Rachmaninoff wrote his third piano concerto in 1909. Claude Debussy, writing in a completely different musical vocabulary, composed his symphonic work La Mer, the Sea, a few years earlier. As different as his writing sounds from Rachmaninoff, Debussy also has his points to make. I'd like you to listen to what is, for me, the moment of greatest emotional intensity in the second movement of La Mer. In approximately 16 seconds of music, Debussy gives us an ecstatic moment in movement two. Here is the entire passage, from Debussy's build-up to almost the end of the movement. We're listening to the Philharmonia Orchestra under Carlo Maria Giulini. Now, let's go back and uncover the building blocks that lead up to Debussy's point. We first want to notice an initial melodic fragment that begins with two trills, first played by two flutes, and then handed off to another woodwind player. Can you tell which one? If you answered the oboe, you got it right. Listen again. It is very much in Debussy's style that he writes short little ideas that he repeats, either exactly or with slight changes, and then goes on to something different. The next idea in the cue is a sensual one. Here it is, not so sensually played on the piano. Have a listen to the orchestra. Can you tell which instruments he chooses to play this idea? And notice that we do not have a verbatim repeat. What did you come up with? Hopefully, cellos and violins. As beautiful as the second violins and cellos are playing that sensual theme, I don't want you to miss one of the other things going on. Here it is on the piano. Each of the three beats per measure is being subdivided into three parts. Da 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 da. 1, 2, 3, 2, 2, 3, 3, 2, 3. This idea is played almost inaudibly by the first violins, passed to the blanks, who play it quite audibly before they pass it back to the first violins. Ignore the cellos and second violins. Listen for the instruments playing the triplets, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and fill in the blank. So, to whom did the first violins pass? To the flutes, piccolo, and English horn. Now enjoy listening to the second violins and cellos on their sensuous idea and the triplet people simultaneously. The oboe, most prominently among other wind instruments, is going to again play the very first idea we encountered, the one that began with a trill. But before the oboe can continue, our attention is immediately diverted to the first violins playing another very short but beautiful fragment. Listen as the oboe's trills are quickly circumvented by the first violins, and count how many times this happens. Did you come up with two occurrences? Good. Just what we'd expect from Debussy. Although perhaps by now you don't believe me, we are building gradually to a place of great ecstasy. Emotional tension must be built, and one way to do it is by means of these little repetitions. The violins and violas now begin to play a wonderful harmonized idea that sounds like this. Have a listen to the orchestra, and again, count the number of occurrences. Did you notice that this idea happened three times, and that the second and third occurrences were at a higher pitch level than the first? Listen again for all three occurrences. Now, I want you to focus your attention on one of the most subtle effects Debussy creates in this passage. Underneath everyone else in the orchestra, some instruments are playing this ascending scale passage. Okay, so we know it happens three times. Listen for these ascending scales in the orchestra. Can you tell which timbres, that is, which instruments, are playing this? As insignificant as they may seem, if those harps and cellos playing pizzicato were not there, something important would be missing. Remember what Rachmaninoff said: we're working toward the point toward which each sound is carefully calculated to lead. Listen for the two harps and the cellos playing those ascending scales. As they say in TV infomercials, but wait, there's more! During the second and third time this passage is played, one of the brass section adds its two cents with this idea. Can you tell which brass instrument it is? Yes, it's the trumpet. And finally, the flutes and piccolo add this little comment, again, only during the second and third occurrences. Listen for that this time. This is how Debussy constructs his musical landscapes, his soundscapes, if you will allow me to use that expression, by stringing together little, repeated, fragmentary ideas. As we say in the music business, one more time. This time, enjoy the entire four-layered fabric Debussy has sewn together for us at this moment. Well, we've arrived at the point, the moment of greatest emotional intensity in this movement. The violins and violas are going to wail away on their da-da-da-da-da-da pattern, and the cellos will sing a rhythmically augmented or expanded version of that same violin pattern. The woodwinds, brass, and harps will add their scintillating timbres to the mix. Here goes. We're going all the way back now to the moment when the point was first being prepared and letting the movement end as well, so that you notice the choices Debussy made there. His ending, as opposed to Rachmaninoff's. Be attentive, and we'll discuss this on the other side of the musical excerpt. Perhaps you noticed that Debussy took a very different course of action and ended the movement incredibly softly with the most delicate timbres, such as the harp, the flute in its low register, softly played orchestra bells, and a suspended cymbal that was barely touched. He did not want to end his middle movement with a huge bombastic ending. He saved that for the conclusion of the third and final movement of La Mer. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Inside Music. I'm your host, George Mariner Moll, Artistic Director of the Discovery Orchestra. For those of you who have been with us from the beginning of this episode, I promise in the future to do another episode only on Rachmaninoff points. But I do love Debussy's music and couldn't resist exploring the point of this movement with you. Here now is the entire second movement, Play of the Waves, from La Mer by Claude Debussy, played by the Philharmonia Orchestra under Carlo Maria Giulini. When we're about 4.5 minutes in, thrill to the ecstasy of the point. This has been Inside Music. I'm your host, George Mariner Mole, Artistic Director of the Discovery Orchestra. The producer was David Ozenberg. Inside Music is made possible by Glenn Mead, an independent trust company providing investment and wealth management services with offices in Princeton, Morristown, and Philadelphia. Inside Music episodes can also be heard as webcasts at wwfm.org. Go to Programs and select Inside Music. Inside Music is an exclusive production of the award-winning Classical Network and wwfm.org. Tune in on Saturday, October 13th at 7:30 p.m. for our next episode, Change That Chord. Thanks so much for being with us. This is George Mariner Mole reminding you to listen better.